Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, our regular segment with Neil Golden is about to occur. And Neil, first of all, welcome.
It's good to talk to you again, Frank.
Yeah,
how are you?
Yeah, well, I'm excited to talk to you. A lot going on. Thank you. And I should remind people that he is a stock chart reader, and he also is the subject of a documentary coming out. It's wonderful, and we'll get more to you on that. We'll get to you on detail. Tell the listeners of the man that they've been listening to for a long time. They're going to be surprised with a lot of the statements made. Just wonderful, though. Wonderful subject of a documentary coming out, and also the author of a new book, and we'll talk to you about that real soon. Neil, let's talk about the markets, if we would. And you usually like to start us off with a disclaimer. Today, would you like to do the same?
Thank you very much. When it comes to trading stocks, I think everyone should be aware of that trading stocks is an art. It is not a science. Just because something has happened in the past, there is never any guarantee that the same thing will happen in the future. And at all times, you should never invest with money you can't afford to lose.
Well, yeah, as always, well said, very prudent information usually comes from you. And it seems like we've known each other forever, but we haven't. And we haven't done this segment of the show. It's a popular segment of the show for all that long. And I imagine things have changed in the market even in that time period. What has changed since we began talking to you?
Well, the whole nature of way institutions and individuals are trading, in the sense that, you know, if someone has a good year, that they only thing they have to do is beat the S&P averages or the Dow Jones Industrial Averages, have a better year than the major indexes that are traded in the United States. And if you can beat that consistently, well, you're considered to be a good trader. But for the last maybe 3 years, well, two of those years up until 2017, I'm referring to the years 2016 and 2015, the markets were basically just going sideways. They were going nowhere. And ever since Trump has been elected, they have skyrocketed. So in the sense that, you know, if you're smart, you never trade with money you can't afford to lose. But if you did borrow some money and put it in the stock market, this has been a fantastic year.
Yeah. Why do you think this is true, that the market is going up?
Well, according to what everyone says, it's mainly in anticipation of the tax cuts, especially for the rich.
Yeah.
Of course, poor people, you know, don't have any that much of a tax cut, but for the rich, they expect it. And Wall Street in general, you know, they have trillions of dollars just sitting on the side with nothing to do with it. You know, you can't earn more than, say, 2 to 3%, you know, investing money in a bank or anything like that off of. They have the money and so forth, the big companies and everything, and in anticipation of having to pay less taxes to the government, have been pushing the market up.
See, I would imagine coming in, you know, even if he hadn't promised it, that a guy that was a billionaire and he was born with tremendous wealth, I mean, he probably started out with more like $200 million from his father than the million people talk about, which is still a significant number. But, $200 million, I mean, if you think about it, I would imagine just it would be logic that that a man coming in with that kind of wealth, and especially inherited wealth, would be the type to give a big tax cut to himself, basically, and his buddies and his colleagues. I mean, look, let's face it, house painters, no other house painters, and you know, on the dark side, heroin addicts seem to know other heroin addicts, and baseball players and athletes know other athletes. Billionaires know other billionaires, and President Trump, before he was President Trump, hung out with billionaires, and if not billionaires, very, very wealthy folks, the guys in the high millions. It almost seems logic that he would be there to benefit the very rich and certainly not the poor. I mean, am I right on that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As we know, a lot of corporations that are global have, you know, billions of dollars outside the United States, and one way they can bring it back is to buy their own stock. So there's a lot of that going on currently. And but as compared to the everyday worker, especially, makes it really bad, you know, because a lot of professional people like plumbers, electricians, and stuff like that, you know, if they're working for themselves, well, they have certain tax write-offs, and you know, they can get paid underneath the table. But if you're working for a corporation, you know, you tomorrow you may not know if you have a job to go to or not because of all the jobs that are being lost and exported overseas. Some people feel that we still are making a lot of things, but my contention is from the beginning of my talks, you know, on the radio, is that the Industrial Revolution is dead, and basically America is becoming a consumer society, is that we buy more services than we produce, and we have a aging population to deal with in the future. But getting back to what I really want to talk about is that in the past I have said things like the buy and hold theory of buying stocks and holding them for forever. You know, it worked from maybe 1950 to maybe 2000, and that's when the high tech came along. And what this has produced is it's radically changed our world.
Yeah.
Where what we did before on a day-to-day basis, it no longer is there. And what really, you know, scares me is companies out there, not that I'm anti Amazon or
no.
I'm anti eBay or I'm anti Microsoft, but these companies are around and are even anti Google or something. But for what I'm reading now is that there's four companies out there that are mainly responsible for the rapid change in the way we live, and their value keeps going up and up and up and up.
Yeah, see, that's fascinating. I remember you saying, you know, that it's no longer buy and hold, but in some cases, could buy and hold still work?
Yeah, there's some future industries. One, right now there's a big war between the companies on who's going to be dominant in cloud computing, and that's where you don't save things on your hard drive, but you save it somewhere in outer space. And the other thing deals with computer security. To me, I was shocked. You know, recently or a couple of months ago, they had this virus that was going through Europe and then coming over to the United States. And when I started reading about what these companies were doing, well, they were using like the third version of Microsoft. And, you know, when already Microsoft has a version that's called number 10, and you can download it free, you know, on your computer, but yet major companies in Europe are still using Microsoft 3, you know. So as we know, you know, even the federal government, with all the Russian influence in the last election, computer security has been a very, very important thing, and it will be in the future, you know, in the sense that more and more people are forced to use their computers. So these type of stocks, cloud computing, computer security, and there's also companies that are popping up right and left that will play a major importance in our future. I think I also briefly mentioned I knew someone that I went to high school with that got in on the ground floor of PayPal.
Wow.
And now, you know, they're very, very well off. So these opportunities will be out there. And even on a daily basis when it comes to trading, the ones that should be looked at the hardest are what they call momentum stocks.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are in very, very much demand. Well, you put four of those in front of you and you just do what those four stocks are doing or trade as they are going. So the sense of how people trade and what they trade, you know, has radically changed since I've been doing this program.
Yeah, it's just it's amazing. We're living in such a changing world. And you have to believe everything from the markets to the way we do anything technologically is changing on a day-to-day basis, if not a month-to-month, and certainly by year. Neil Golden is the voice that you're hearing if you're just tuning in or turning on your radios. Frank McKay here with the Stock Chart Reader, and thrilled to have him as always. You will be able to see Neil in a documentary of his thoughts, and I was going to say of his life, but it's more of some thoughts and some other issues, everything from religion to the Civil War and everything else, and we're going to tell you more about that as we come along, and his book is soon to come out, I would say, in the fall of this year. Everyone will be able to get it and purchase it. Frank McKay here with Neil Golden, and let me ask you about stock ticking, and again, is there such a thing anymore? Is it? I mean, for folks like myself who don't follow the market all that close, what is it, and what has changed about stock ticking?
Well, in the sense that it's an old-fashioned way, you know, like they used to say in the commercial, we earn our money.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be buying a quarterly or getting hold of the quarterly reports of companies and, you know, finding out how much debt the company had and how much cash it had and, you know, how much it was doing business at the same quarter maybe a year ago and comparing all these numbers and crunching numbers and they had price earning ratios that people were taking into effect. So it involved a lot of time, a lot of crunching, and if it met certain standards, you know, then you would say, well, this is a good stock to pick, you know, in a sense that it'd been at least in business for 10 years. It was growing by revenue was growing, you know, 10% a year. And they had a lot of cash on hand. Well, this criteria isn't really holding up, and it's too time-consuming. So what is really happening, the part about technical analysis or stock chart reading is sort of more or less taking over the whole market in the sense that markets or the whole stock market is divided into 10 or 15 sectors, and they have computers, you know. If the market opens up like 100 points down, or say the Dow Jones Industrial should suddenly dip for whatever reason, or maybe, you know, a bomb goes off somewhere in the world, or there's some kind of big terrorist attack, well, it's all computerized now in the sense that you know, thousands of shares can be put on the market to be sold in a fraction of a second. So this is what seems to be taking over the market. It's become very, very computerized, and the old-fashioned way of using floor traders and stuff like that is becoming a thing of the past.
You know, you touched on something early. I mean, that's fascinating. All of that is just completely fascinating. But again, another reminder, Neil Golden is our very special guest, stock chart reader Neil Golden, and Frank McKay here with Neil. You mentioned that four, and this is, you know, a little earlier in your comments, that there are basically four companies that are changing the way we do things. And again, without, you know, being, you know, all that specific, I mean, one of them has to be Amazon, one of them has to be Google. And but you're right. It's four, you know, or five companies, I mean, are basically changing everything that we're doing. And they're all tech companies in some sense. Is that a proper judgment that they're all tech related? And that's why we're changing so much, because we're changing from a non-tech world or a non-computerized world, let's say 30 years ago, to where we are now.
It's very interesting that one company, for me, it's easy to remember. It's, at this point, it's Apple and Amazon. For this year, 2017, they have spurred the market the most, and then the other two were Google and Facebook. I do not have a Facebook account, but it's sort of interesting. And Steve Jobs was once commenting about Bill Gates, and Steve sort of tore into Bill, says, "This guy is unimaginative, and he's never invented anything in his whole life." And they were asking Bill Gates, "What do you think about this?" And Bill Gates says, "I don't care what Steve says about me, in the sense that I've known him, you know, for over 20 years, and we've always been friends." So.
What does he care? I mean, you know, when you have that kind of money, Steve Jobs can say whatever you want, and just keep doing what you're doing, Steve, and let me keep doing what I'm doing as Bill Gates. And as it turns out, Bill Gates outlived Steve Jobs and gets to, I'm sure he's made a fortune off of Apple stock quietly. Uh-huh. or whatever. And when we talk about Bill Gates, I'm sure even though they were competitors at one point, and they were going in different directions, I'm sure Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts have figured out a way to make plenty of money off of Apple stock.
Right now, yeah, they have. And recently, Berkshire Hathaway has bought a lot of Apple stock because the product of their iPhones, it's actually a product that you can see and use. But when you really look at it, this has revolutionized the world, you know, in the sense that for the most part, people don't buy wrist watches as much as they used to. They can just look at their cell phone and find out what time it is. It can do what they call GPS on it, you know.
I don't even use a GPS anymore. I just use my phone. I use my iPhone. I say, direct me to 182 Alameda Boulevard in Los Angeles, and it just takes me there. You know, it's putting so many different products out of business. And you're right, watches and compasses. You never need to get a compass anymore. You just have an app on your iPhone for it.
Right, and now they're getting into physical fitness, where people can, you know, regulate their or take their blood pressure and. And other things, you know, using their electronic devices. They're pretty accurate. So as far as the field of medicine goes, you know, even doctors are using it. If they see a patient that has a certain illness, well, they just put it into the computer and all the various treatments will come up on the screen. So
we're clearly in the space age.
True. And like this guy Stephen Hawking says, within the next 30 years, he would like to see, you know, people in outer space. So, of course, you know, you can say 1,000 years from now, will we have a Star Wars going on? Well, we very well could.
Yeah, just it's tremendous what we're looking at. And we're just about out of time with Neil Golden. Just a wonderful take on everyday things, but mainly the market and how they've changed. And even since we've been doing this segment, with Neil. He's talked about how it's changed. We talked about buy and hold, where it was obsolete, you know, after 2000. But then again, you know, maybe there's certain things you do it with. A very practical take on it. Neil, is there anything you want to leave us with? We've got about a minute left. What's on your mind? What do you do to prepare your thoughts for doing shows like this and doing? What do you read? What do you watch?
Nothing. I just mainly try to keep abreast of what's happening, you know, in the world. And other than that, I don't know, I think about it for a few minutes, and then I start writing notes. There is one company I would like to mention, because just the other day, it was like Sears, you know. When it was first formed, it was like Sears and Roebuck. And they've been talking about this company going out of business for at least the last, you know, six years at least. It's been going out of business, and they've been closing stores and stuff like that. But now, they said last night on the news is that Sears, you know, because it's been in business for 124 years, and when it first came out in America in the late 1800s, it was like a catalog. That's what they were famous for. Their catalog, they ship it all around, and they get orders from people. But now that it's almost on the verge of bankruptcy, they're now going to start selling washing machines on Amazon, and this could be a turnaround for the stock, in the sense that price could really shoot it back up, and they can stay in business for a long time to come. So I'm sort of hoping, because it has been in business for a long time, that it will stay in business for many years to come.
It's amazing. Amazon probably did more to hurt Sears, and maybe Amazon's here to the rescue for Sears, which is ironic.
Yeah, it is. It's very. That's how fast the markets can change.
Neil Golden, thank you very much once again for being here, and always look forward to your segments.
Same here, Frank. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
I encourage everyone to binge listen to everything that we've done with Neil. You can find him all over the internet and on so many various places. And we encourage everyone to go there and to binge listen. And you don't have to listen in order. Just check him out. There's a lot of information from Neil on these particular shows. Just great. But look out for a documentary coming out featuring Neil. And I'm proud to be part of that. And look for his book to come out in the fall, and maybe September, and I have a feeling you'll all love what you read and what you see. Signing off right now, Frank McKay with Neil Golden. Signing off, and we'll see you next time.